Good afternoon. Welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
I thought you forgot. I'm Bill Kunda.
I was just waiting for the volume to go down just a teeny bit. Or maybe my headphones are just really loud.
Could be.
We came running in at the last minute.
But we are on time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we like to tell ourselves.
Hey, what do you want? Do you want to talk about our sponsors?
Do it.
Yeah. Our sponsors this hour are Team Power, local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. And at Team Power, you can get a great deal right now on a John Deere or Kubota tractor. And they are at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake, just south of Phil's Prop Shop. And you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com and or call them 226-9226 and talk to them about new tractors, service, parts. They do it all.
There you have it. Because we support agriculture.
That's right.
Even if it's only your yard.
That's right.
We like yard agriculture.
Turn on the water.
Big agriculture, little agriculture. Better than having to turn your yard into a rock garden.
Yeah, that's kind of a popular thing nowadays.
I was just talking to the neighbors about that. They bought a house and somebody had already turned it into a rock garden.
Yeah.
But when they first saw the house, it had grass.
That's given up.
I know.
You know? Uh-huh.
I know. That's just succumbing
Don't
to
do
the
it.
Whole thing.
Don't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, then you
Stay
find out
green.
They gave away 50% of the state's water to fish. And
yeah.
Statewide, we saved, what, 1.5%? Wow. By turning all our yards into rock gardens. Stupid.
Yeah.
More California logic there. So our guest, Dr. Harry Booyens, is he with us?
Hello.
Hey, who got you on there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So there are very few people who probably don't know what we're doing. If you're not on my email list, actually, I should bring that up. If you're not on the update list for the program, you should go to wethepeopleradio.us and put your email in there. I only send out, if I send out, one thing a week. That's it. And so just, you know, links to the show, guests that you might like. And since this program, we started last week on South Africa. We did an hour last week. And so that's on there for you, commercial-free, on the web. May 27th, and then today we're going to do 2 hours because this is really like a what do you say 50-hour show. Somehow we're going to cram
not
it,
long enough.
We're going to cram it into three. So briefly about our guest, Harry Booyens is an internationally recognized, multiple award-winning, say that fast, PhD defense and aerospace. Space physicist. Oh, I was doing so good, too. Originally from South Africa, with a 360-year bloodline in that country, he lives with his family in the on the forested slopes outside Vancouver, Canada, at the moment. His life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishment. He applies his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy and writes with factual accuracy and engaging styles on these subjects. Hard Evidence is a trademark of his work, and it's won him a number of awards. He focuses on making Americans aware of what's happening in South Africa, the historic parallels between the two countries, and the warning that South Africa holds for Western civilization in general, and the United States of America in particular.
Well said.
And if you weren't listening last week, I guarantee you, you know very little about this subject, if you've been getting your news from the news. So.
Well, last week we talked about kind of the history of South Africa and
the history none of us know.
The history, yeah, that I think has been kind of whitewashed and lied about for decades. And talked a little bit about Dr. Harry's history. And now we're going to go into what's really going on in South Africa right now. In the history of it.
So where would you like to start?
Well, if I may, I would like to just repeat one little sentence.
Please do.
From last time, and that's that in terms of the two countries, both were in essence started by the Dutch, Cape Town in the South African case, and New Amsterdam or New York, if you wish, in the American case. Both were sold to the British by the Dutch. Both were eventually subject to the British. Both fought two wars against the British. But the prime difference is that while both of us won the first war against them, you won your second and we lost our second. And therein lies much of the difference. So the parallels are incredible, but there are some wholly inappropriate parallels that have also been drawn and that lead to tremendous trouble in South Africa at this time. And it lies at the root of why you're not hearing stuff in the news. And so it bears repeating that Dutch folks arrived in South Africa in 1652, so they've been there an awfully long time. My own ancestors go back to that period. And then, very significantly, no South African black people were ever enslaved by any white men from anywhere across the planet. And ironically, it is the white South Africans who have slave ancestors, not the black ones. And that's it. In a nutshell, that's what I want to say about what we discussed last time.
And there were no black Africans in that region when the Dutch moved in. Is that correct?
In a simple sentence, the nearest indigenous black people in South Africa when the Dutch landed was 700 miles away. So again, in terms of measuring from where you guys are in Reading, that would be like around Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. not exactly a displacement.
Okay. If there's anything else from last time that you feel bears sketching as backdrop, this would be the time to tell me. But that's about it. And those basics appear not to be known by people outside the country. And the result of that is that the folks are forever thinking that white people went to South Africa to enslave black people. The only black South Africans who were ever enslaved are the ones who were enslaved by Nelson Mandela's Amakosa people. And they were, ironically, freed by my ancestors.
Okay, that is kind of ironic.
Yeah, because that's definitely not what I think the general population in this country has been taught. That
no, because this is being...
I mean, if you're from Africa, you're black.
Right, and this is being painted as a reclaiming of land that was stolen from them.
Yeah, and so you did ask me last time, maybe I should just mention this a little bit again, and that is there were people at the Cape, but they were not black people. They were then called the Hottentot. And that name is considered derogatory these days, but it's the only name that some people know. These days, they are more correctly referred to as the Khoi people. And their descendants and the descendants of some of the slaves brought to the Cape by the Dutch, typically Indian, they form the basis of what is today called colored in South Africa, which it does not mean at all what it means in the United States. So, again, you know, these words that have
different
meanings in the two countries, that causes terrible trouble.
Tell people again what colored means there.
Well,
I forget.
There are four acknowledged racial groupings in South Africa. There are the black people, who have always been the majority in the east of the country. There are the Indian people who historically lived in the province of Natal, which is in the east of the country. They were brought there in the 1800s by the British as laborers in sugarcane plantations. They were indentured. They were not slaves. Then there are the white people who landed in 1653. And then there are what is basically left of these Khoi people that I mentioned, and folks who were manumitted at the Cape, in other words, freed slaves that had been imported by the Dutch, and all of these folks, plus people who were of mixed descent between various nations, were then agglomerated into a grouping that was called colored in South Africa. And if you want me to go on about the injustices of apartheid, I would tell you that it was mostly the so-called colored people that suffered from that, not the black people, despite all the drama made around it. And so that's the racial grouping in the country. If you look at voting statistics today, because they still keep it by race, then the answer is that the western half of the country is dominated by voters of mixed descent, mostly white and other, and then the east of the country is dominated by black people. And that's it. And there's a line that runs there, which I am going to explain a little bit later, and it has to do with designs beyond the hand of man.
Okay. Well, let's take a really quick break at this point, and what we're going to do is contact you on Skype. We didn't get here in time to do that at the beginning, so we'll try to do that during the break, and hopefully then we'll have better connect with you. You are listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Our guest today is Harry Booyans, and you're going to like it. Interesting information. We'll be right back. I'm going to do a little commercial here, I guess, since if you're listening to us on June the 3rd, 2018, I wanted to promote the Red Pill Expo that's coming up in Spokane. And odds are you might not have heard of this before, but the Red Pill Expo, I should have clicked on my list of speakers, although we were speaking to one of the speakers. It's in 17 days. It's June 21st through 23rd in Spokane, Washington. And conference speakers include G. Edward Griffin, Robert Kiyosaki, Lord Christopher Monckton, Tom DeWeese, Representative Matt Shea, Larry Pratt, Major General Paul Commercial. A little commercial popped up in front of his face. Trevor Loudon, Patrick Wood, all sorts of people. Dr. Duke Pesta, if you're interested in issues with vaccines. Dan Happel and Jesse Lee Peterson. Lots of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an action-packed few days. So you can find all that information at redpillexpo.org, and I will link that to the site for today. I have not done that yet, but I will in a moment. And that's June 21st through 23rd. And Dr. Harry Booyans is also a speaker there. So
back to our guest that we did not connect with through Skype because, I don't know, because we didn't have the skills to make that happen.
On my side, it says messaging unavailable.
Nice.
Don't know what to say about that.
Had to go through customs. You got balled up in customs.
There you go. Border problem.
Yeah.
It may be that the trouble is with me being here in the boondocks of Vancouver, Canada.
Well, you know, Reading isn't exactly a major metropolitan area.
Hey. Biggest city south of Portland, I think.
North of Sacramento.
Yeah.
In that wasteland.
Yeah.
With a lot of territory to cover. Well, we're going to do most of the listening, so you just go ahead with your story and we'll listen. We can hear you just fine.
Okay. I think we should now get to why the farm situation in South Africa has reached a crisis. In your introduction, you said that you have a focus on agriculture. Well, maybe we could shift that focus just a little bit to the other side of the planet, to the southern tip of South Africa. And what's happening there is that the present government, which I will describe a little bit later, the present government has approved in Parliament, where it has a very domineering majority, it has approved that the constitution be changed, which it can because of the number of votes it has, that the constitution be changed so as to make it legal for the government to simply take the land of white farmers without any compensation. Now, one can say, well, you've got eminent domain in the United States, but I don't believe it says without compensation. The problem in South Africa is that one cannot view that decision in isolation. And the reason for that is that the present government, which is dominated by the late Nelson Mandela's African National Congress Party, which was sponsored by the Soviets originally, that party pretty much controls everything. And they have been running something that really should be called what it is, and that is a low-level undeclared war against South African farmers. I have a declassified report by the CIA delivered to George Bush Sr. in the late 1980s. I believe it was around 86. I should check the date again. And it's available to anybody on the internet. I can provide you the link for that, where they make it quite clear to him in one of their reports, which is heavily redacted, as you might imagine. And in that report, it says that the ANC has declared farmers a legitimate target for military operations. So this thing comes a long, long way. So, you know, we're talking 30 years of history of this subject.
Now, are these primarily white farmers?
These are primarily white farmers, but as you'll hear, the black farm workers are suffering just as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the mythology of the ANC, the ruling party, in their party mythology, white people are these evil invaders who came and took southern Africa from them. And you've already heard that that's a lie. It's a simple, flat lie. And I will go into the science, if you wish, of that, because there are reasons why that is a lie, and the reasons were dictated by heaven, not by man, and I will explain that. So the ANC has, for years, drummed up support for its agenda by inciting ordinary black people against white people. That's what they do. That's their basis for existence. And the trouble is, they've ruined the economy. They've ruined the international standing of the country. They've turned it into an international laughingstock. You may remember the event where deaf interpreter...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sign language guy.
This is typical of the ANC. I mean, what they do is just unforgivable. Anyway, so they've turned South Africa into a laughing stock. They've turned it into a classic African economic basket case. They're busy destroying its ability to feed itself. And the only thing they can resort to is, it's sort of the African parallel of what's happening in liberal circles in the United States. They've run out of ideas, so they just yell against President Trump, and they haven't got anything else to talk about, to offer. And in South Africa, the ANC has nothing else to offer because it has, quite frankly, in regular English, screwed up everything it's touched. They've created a situation where black people cannot find jobs. Nobody can find jobs. It's a morass. And so they get votes by appealing to brazen racism. They keep telling the ordinary, uneducated black voter out there in the African bush that these nasty white people came over the seas to come and steal your country. Okay? And they drum this drum, and as a result of this, white farmers are being attacked on their farms and tortured to death. Yeah. Now, before I explain anything further, I realize this is a radio show and not television and not YouTube. So the next best thing I can do is ask the two of you whether you have the link I gave you to Google Images, whether that's available and whether you have a computer of some sorts in front of you.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
We also have your blog on the site for folks to go on and read and view some of the images you've posted there.
Then may I suggest that on behalf of your viewers, first of all, to inform them, and secondly, to spare them the image that you are going to see, because I don't think people really want to see this. But I don't think I honestly can talk to you the right way about this subject unless you simply put the word farm attacks, the two words. Don't even put quotes on it. You don't have to say South Africa. Just put the words farm attacks, two words, plural, farm attacks.
Okay.
Put that into that Google Images website. And just look. And I think, frankly, in the interest of justice, I ought to shut up until you say something.
I'm a slow typer. Oh, okay, there we go. Yep, comes right up. Very first link that pops up is South African farms.
Yeah. You notice I never asked you to put the word South Africa in there?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I fully appreciate that after 60 years of having your heads messed with by the U.S. media, and particularly the British media, who hate us with a passion, they always have, I thought I should find a more even-handed international arbiter. There is no way that I can mess with Google to plant those pictures. How would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. So this is the best attempt I have as a guy from Africa who has family on those farms. This is the best way I know of appealing to something that is as independent as possible to give you an idea of what it is I'm actually talking about. This is what it looks like when the inevitable happens. I'm going to leave it to you to describe to your viewers for a minute what it is you're seeing.
Well, I've got a variety of choices here. I had pulled up an article. I don't think I'm seeing...
No. I think you've gone to Google. You have not gone to Google Images. You need to put in the words Google Images.
Oh, sorry.
Google.
Oh.
That link I sent you was
pertinently... Yeah. No, it's pretty heinous.
Yeah, because I was looking at that earlier, and I just didn't search it right. My computer's running like a snail. Helpful. People just... I mean, literally bludgeoned. I think that's the, I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but I don't know how else to put it.
Oh, it looks like, typical injuries that people would sustain in a full-on war. I mean, pretty heinous injuries to men, women, and children. And it's not just white people. It looks like there's black workers that are being killed, maimed as well.
Yes.
It's pretty bad.
And the animals, I've seen pictures of the animals as well. I don't see that here, but I mean, with their legs cut off, they're still alive, but they've cut like the legs off of sheep. So they have to run around on little nubs.
I think we've reached a point in South Africa where the animals don't make it into reports anymore.
Really?
In fact, it's difficult for these attacks on the farmers themselves to get into any newspaper, even in South Africa, anymore. It's just accepted that you die, and you die badly.
Yeah, because I had posted an article last week that came out of the Daily Mail, I believe. But if you look at any of the regular press and you search for articles about this, you really don't get anything. You know, it's just...
Okay. So to give you some feel for what people, how the media in general is reacting, talking now about the formal media, and to some degree Facebook is starting to become formal media. I had a situation where some lady in Britain said, oh, it's all a lie. None of this is really happening. These people are lying. You know,
right, and
so
here's a guy with like half
like
of his face missing.
Denier, you know, except that they're standing next to the gas chamber, basically jeering at the Jews as they're walking into the chambers. That's how we experience it. So I elected to put a little article on Facebook to say, well, if the lady is denying that this is happening, why doesn't she go and live on a South African farm for a month? I will have you know that Facebook contacted me and accused me of bullying and removed my post.
Really?
Yeah, this one post here is to date, 2018, 109 attacks on farms in South Africa. I mean, that's a lot.
To date in 2018.
2018, yeah, alone.
Yeah.
109.
And I'm going to post a link directly to this so that it's not tricky for people to find, but honestly, there are very few things that you can look up where suddenly there's somebody without half of their head. I mean, half of their face. They're cutting a rope off from around a guy's neck. And these are mostly older people.
Exactly, because the farmers tend not to be 20 years old.
Right. This isn't the age of people that you see in war, you know, young fighting men. These are older women and older men and just, I mean, gruesome. I don't know any other way to say it.
If there is a belief, even if there is a belief that white people stole land from black people,
yeah, they don't need to be murdered in their homes.
In some places did happen, okay? But suppose we say that that was some huge generalized thing and that evil white people came and did this.
Right.
In what culture on earth is it acceptable to go after the mothers and fathers of those people, drill holes with power drills in their feet, put their feet in boiling water so that they cannot go and find help? Where does it say that you take their wives, strip them naked, cover them in cooking oil, and then assault them with hot clothes irons? This is, it's like it's a competition for what is the worst possible way of torturing a person to death. That appears to be the live competition in South Africa today.
Yeah, because in the photo imagery, these aren't things that are happening on a battlefield. These are pictures of people in their homes. These things all happened in their homes. And you can tell just by the blood loss that this wasn't somebody just ran through the door and attacked them or whatever. This is long-term torture that's taking place, and because these people are farmers. On that evil note, we need to take a really quick break here. But, if you do a search on your system for Google Images, and then once you get to the Google Images search bar, put in farm attacks, you'll see what I'm looking at. I'm also going to add it on the webpage. So if you're following us online, if you just refresh your page, that link will be there for you. And you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. We will be right back. I just have to confess, I picked the song Hell's Bells on the outgoing and Spirit in the Sky on the incoming break there, long before I knew what we would be talking about. But
premonition.
I guess if we were going to pick something that went along with these images, that I guess both of those hit home.
Harry, this, basically genocide is going on, is being perpetrated by mainly the ANC, the political party that took over after apartheid. Is that correct?
Well, taking those statements from aside, the ANC won a political victory in the big 1994 election, and they have been ruling the country ever since then. First under Nelson Mandela, then under Thabo Mbeki. And then there was an interim guy who was just a little cipher, a placeholder. And then by Jacob Zuma, who was a classic African village chief kind of guy, And now recently, at the beginning of this year, in February, Cyril Ramaphosa took over as president. But it's all the ANC. Now let me be clear on one thing. I am not accusing the ANC itself of going around farms killing people. But that government has refused to report the statistics on these farm murders. Their argument is a white life is not more valuable than a black life. Therefore, we are not going to list farm murders as a separate category. So that would be more or less the same as saying we're not going to address attacks on farmers in Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas, because we'd rather just lump that together with gun deaths in Chicago.
Right.
That way,
right,
you don't see the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's total fake news at its best right there.
So that's the way they handle it. So they've been pretending this is not happening. They've been openly denying that it's happening. Then they decided, well, they have to say something. So they suggested this argument about a white life is not more valuable than a black life. Therefore, we are not going to make a separate category after about lonesome farmers exposed out there. But they themselves expose the farmers. You see, there used to be something like a National Guard that could be called out amongst the farmers to protect themselves. And the government shut that down in 2006, 2007, promising there'd be a special unit to protect the farmers. There is no special unit, and the government issue weapons that were given to those farmers to protect themselves were withdrawn, and these guys were left to their devices. Now, the government who says that these attacks aren't happening is the government who has given those guys no protection. I would suggest to you that 2 and 2 in this particular case does not quite make 4. It makes a rather a bigger number than that.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's,
And that's what they do. That's how they work. They reckon that nobody is intelligent enough to put the right hand to lever together with the right hand with the left hand to see what's being done by the two together. So there is no way that the ANC government can absolve itself here. Now, it turns out they have now said in the last month, okay, they will report those numbers again. The only question now is what particular obfuscation are they going to try now? Because the whole deal here is to get the white farmers off their land. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as the farmers are there, it looks as though white people, quote, have stolen the land, unquote. You with me? It's a pictorial situation. It is easy to convince their voters that the evil white man is indeed evil because, see, he's still on that farm. That's what's going on here.
Well, another way it looks like they're twisting the numbers is, I'm looking at an article here from the Huffington Post. It says farm murders at all-time low the past 2 years. It's declined, but what they don't say is there was 109 this year alone. So it makes me wonder, what was the number prior to that?
To the all-time low
of 109? Was it 1,000, and now it's only 109, so everything's okay? Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, let me ask you this. You are two intelligent, thinking human beings. You're really going to believe something the Huffington Post tells you?
No.
That's the first problem.
1,000 miles away? Really?
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a fair amount of people out there that's their daily dose of real news, and it's sad, but I think you do have to do your own homework to see what's going on here.
And people can't, it's not like they can just sell the farm and move, because who's going to buy it?
Well, and it was a family farm. They've been there for 300
years.
Right,
but even if they wanted to escape with their lives, who are they going to sell it to?
Right.
So, but now I want to get to the next point on this curve, because you see, the government says that the biggest single issue in South Africa is the disproportionate ownership of land by white farmers. That's what they say is the overriding factor in South Africa, that all is predicated on that, that black people are poor because the white farmers own the land. And if only but the black people owned the land, they would overnight be okay. That's the picture that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you can see how that can work with a group of totally uneducated people who have no clue where money comes from. So, I would like to, if you'll indulge me, I would actually like to go into the numbers of that government itself. Because the one thing you can always count on is that folks on the far left and in the communist world cannot actually do math. If they could, they would never have had the mess they had, and there might still be a Soviet Union.
Right.
The failure of math. Let's take a really quick break and come back so that we get it all in one fell swoop and don't have to interrupt you. Our guest today is Dr. Harry Bouyans. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. There was somewhere over the rainbow for these guys. Okay. Back to the math.
Okay. So what I would like to do is I've now already appealed to basically Google Images as an independent arbiter of information. And I hope that passes the smell test over there. Now, the next thing, I'm a physicist, okay? In 1957, my mother hoisted me on her arm and pointed out to me a star that was moving up in the heavens. And I was not quite 4 years old, but that was the day I decided that I wanted to be a scientist, because she told me that it's scientists who put that thing up there. And I thought this moving star was really cool. It was called Sputnik. So I learned somewhere along the way that maths is important. And the whole idea is that maths works the same way everywhere. That is the principle of science, that it should work the same way everywhere, and you test it in different places. Now, I would like to appeal to your mathematics. Today, if I take the report that the government uses, the South African government, the ANC government, that it has a report that it uses to justify the taking of the farmer's land without remuneration. And it spreads this word about the white farmers own 72% of the land. Okay, the evil whites came and took 72% of the land. Shows you just how bad they are. Let us test that. Okay? Their own report says that white farmers own 26.8 million hectares. If you have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, please write down 26.8, because we're going to do a little bit of interesting maths here. I will round those off to nice round numbers so the listeners can also do it. So they themselves say the white farmers own 26.8 million hectares. Now we go to the CIA World Factbook. Are you, the two of you, happy to accept that as a decent arbiter of simple mathematical fact, like how big is a country?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. The CIA Factbook says South Africa is 122 million hectares. Don't worry about the size of a hectare. 122 million hectares. The South African government says the white farmers have 26.8 million hectares. So here's what we're going to do. we're going to slant the picture in the favor of the government by saying, let's make that 122 million hectare size of South Africa, instead of calling it 122 million, just call it 120 million for a nice round number. And then the 26.8 million, how about we round that up and make it look as though the farmers have even more land than they really have? We round it up to 30 million hectares. I ask you, with tears in my eyes, how many times does 30 million go into 120 million? What is 120 divided by 30? Or 12 divided by 30?
Yeah, they're short. About four times. Yeah.
last time we checked, there's three of us here, and we've all decided it's four.
Okay. So you agree with me that if I round the numbers up in favor of the government, the farmers own only a quarter of the surface.
Correct.
Yep.
Now, that does not sound like 72 to 75%, which is what they are telling the world and the places like CNN and Huffington Post and these echo. Or the London Brigade of supposed journalists. In what world, on what planet, in what universe can you divide 30 into 120? And get three quarters.
Yeah.
Harry,
socialists, far left liberals, and communists cannot do math.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, you're splitting hairs.
But I mean, even if you left the numbers the way they were, 26.8 and 122, and you were bad at math, you would even know that's not even half.
You get to 21.8%, which is the number that other independent bodies that have done the same maths as me have also found. And they're all scratching their heads at the government.
But nobody actually looks at the 122 million. They don't know the second number, so 26 million seems a lot.
Journalism doesn't even cover dividing two numbers into each other anymore. And this is what you're being subjected to. So now, you know, feel free when we're done with this show, feel free to go and search the internet, and you'll see how many times you'll come up against white farmers own 72% of the land, 72%, 72%, sometimes 90%, whites own 90%, etc., etc., okay? So, now, why do that? It's because if they have to speak the truth, they couldn't make their case.
Right.
Okay? So I would tell you something else. And for that, I need to explain that bit where I said things that are determined in heaven and not on earth. In the United States, I think you'll agree with me that the coast of California, I mean, you're close to it, or relatively close to it, has what is known as a Mediterranean climate. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot me now, but as I recall it, it rains pretty much only in winter, and summer is bone dry and you get fires. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Fine. That is true on the west coasts of pretty much every continent. It's known as a Mediterranean climate. Opposing that, on the east coast of any continent, you will have a subtropical climate. Think Florida. Okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Now, in South Africa, you have the same, except that Africa goes to a rather sharper point in the south, so that around Cape Town and the Western Ocean, you have a Mediterranean climate, no rain in summer, all rain in winter, and on its southeast coast, you have subtropical in the province of Natal, where the Zulus lived. Okay, in between, it slowly changes from one to the other. It goes through an area that's something like the climate of Charleston in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. My own hometown where I grew up, Port Elizabeth, on the which is actually further south than Cape Town, that the closest thing in your world to that is Charleston. It's at the same latitude, same distance from the equator as Charleston. Now, when you study the climate of South Africa, you find that there is a line that runs diagonally from southeast to northwest through the country. And it's a curve, but for practical purposes, you might as well take a straight edge and just make a line across the country. Mm-hmm. To the west of that line, the rain that does fall falls in winter, and it falls, it's high close to the Cape and gets drier to everywhere else, with a little bit more falling against the mountains on the south coast. To the east of that line, you have majority summer weather in the form of thunderstorms, the classical 40,000-foot African thunderstorm with hail. Okay? Now, I'm not sure exactly what the countryside looks like around Reading, and I don't know how much exposure you have to animal husbandry, but I'm pretty sure there's a number of farmers on, you know, listening to your show, and they would be prepared to tell you that goats and sheep will eat short grass, but for cattle, you need taller grass, because that's the way a cow eats.
Right.
Okay, so cow equals long grass. You will get that kind of, you need a certain amount of summer rainfall to get that long grass.
Sure.
And that amount is somewhere 300 to 350 millimeters of rain. Think North Dakota, South Dakota. Been there, looked at it, know it.
Okay.
Okay. And spoke to the farmers, and I spoke to the ones in Saskatchewan as well, and apparently I spoke their language, because I told them, you know, I'm kind of looking at you guys, and it looks like about 300 millimeters of rain, and they said, you got it spot on. Okay, so my comment to you is, here is the simple truth about Africa. The indigenous black people of Africa, by and large, those away from the real deep tropics, in other words, Congo and places like that, their entire culture is based on cattle. And mostly they live off milk and milk derivatives. It is a rare day that they will slaughter a cow, because the cows are really their money. You're not going to slaughter your $1,000 bulls real easily. So these guys needed long grass for their cattle.
Right.
And so when they migrated from the heart of Africa all along the eastern coast, or the interior of the eastern coast, as long as they were getting long grass, they were happy. But when you get to South Africa and this bit of Nevada in the middle, which is really what it is, it looks like Nevada. Well, call it Nevada, southern New Mexico, southern Arizona. Okay, it's dry country.
Dry, yeah.
Okay, that's what South Africa looks like in the middle. It's known as the Karoo, which is a Khoi word for great dry place.
It sounds so much happier.
The great dry place sits in the middle. As soon as they started getting to the great dry place, there was no way they could keep their cattle, and their culture could not function. And that is the reason why, to this day, if you just ignore the big urban centers like Cape Town, where you can go and live without a cow, then you find that the black population of South Africa is east of that 350 millimeter rainfall line. And a simple way to see that is to put the word Afrikaans, A-F-R-I-K-A-A-N-S. I'm taking a shot in the dark here, but I'm pretty sure that's what it'll show.
All right. Hold on one second.
You'll find a map of the distribution of the Afrikaans language, which is mine.
Hold on one second, Harry.
The
I know you can't hear us. We've got to take a really quick break for the news, and
okay,
we're going to come back. Well, just shut up for 5 minutes and then come right back. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Welcome to Hour 2 of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Team Power.
He left me no opportunity.
Nope. I'm just going to jump right into it.
Didn't even take a breath.
Team Power is our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. They're located in Shasta Lake City at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller.
And you can get a great deal on a Kubota or John Deere tractor there. They got a full service department, full parts department, and sales. And just swing in there and get a great deal on a tractor. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! There you go.
There you go. And you can find everything about our program. Archives going back, I don't know, 8, 9 years, something like that. Goes way back. Lots of shows, lots of topics, I'll tell you that. They're all commercial free, and they're free for you to listen to as well. Since I know a lot of shows charge for that, we do not. You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. And I'll switch back over here to, I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, some topics hit people different ways, you know. Some are things people already knew about, they were looking to know more. Some hit them out of the blue, never heard of any of this. And I would venture to guess that this topic on South Africa is something that the only other show I can think of that we did like this was a series of shows on Libya with some people who were there when Libya was bombed and what Libya was really bombed them. And this is kind of that same sort of thing. It's like a peek behind the curtain of a group of people who really have no voice and are not able to get any type of support. But we did have a listener send us a letter, and it's kind of long. I won't read the whole thing, but it's interesting. The one part on the back caught my eye right away. It's underlined, "Where in the world did you discover this man, Dr. Harry? What a treasure of true history."
And I thought, That's about the summation of it.
Yeah.
So Dr. Harry Bouyans is an internationally recognized, multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist. He's originally from South Africa with a 360-year bloodline in that country. He currently lives in Vancouver, Canada. And the rest of his bio is there online, and I will not go through that again. But he's a scientist, so he goes through this in with a lot of factual detail, which is very much appreciated, instead of just drama. There's plenty of drama to go around, though. So we've listed all his different articles. His blog is very instructive. He has a great deal of information online. And if you want to hear him in person, your opportunity is coming. Spokane, Washington, June 21st through the 23rd, 2018. It's called the Red Pill Expo. And if you use the word Bouyans, B-O-O-Y-E-N-S, Dr. Harry his last name, you get a 15% discount. You can actually go to that expo in Spokane. You can watch it online. There is an online registration. And so you have a live stream video, you have general audience, and you also have VIP attendance. So that's coming up, and it would be worth seeing. You've got a list of guests a mile long. Their website is redpillexpo.org, and we have them linked up on our site as well. So, without further ado, back to the story.
Well, Aaron, I would just like to thank that listener of yours for his very nice letter and ask permission to say that to my wife and my mother.
Yeah. Like they don't already know
and
that,
and
but
actually,
go ahead.
Actually, I'll scan a copy of it and email it to you, because it's a lady, and she says, my late husband's father was Dutch, but the family always insisted they were German.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she goes on about that. So anyway, I'll send you a copy of it, but
pretty Harry interesting. Talked earlier on our previous show about the connections between America and the Dutch. I mean, we go way, way, way back.
Sure.
And I thought I'd throw in a little known fact here that you'd mentioned New York City earlier and the Dutch in New York. Well, New York City's oldest public park was established by the Dutch in 1733, and they established it to play a lawn bowling, and today we refer to that as Bowling Green. So that's a little Dutch, a little Dutch history.
Bill Nye the history guy.
Yep, there you go.
Bill
Nye the history guy.
Let me give you another little bit. Broadway in New York was originally Herengracht, which means basically Lord's Way, Herengracht. And the main street of Cape Town is still Herengracht.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay.
How about that?
So
we are inexorably linked.
So the point that I've made repeatedly last time is folks may not know it, But the Americans and South Africans are each other's closest cousins, both in terms of DNA and history and experience on the frontier. So, and
our farmers are being driven from their land.
I know that to real Americans, I can talk Bibles and guns, and I assure you, you can talk Bibles and guns to normal South Africans.
That's pretty cool.
That's good.
Now, when we parted ways before the last commercial, I was asking you to maybe just put the word Afrikaans, A-F-R-I-K-A-A-N-S, which is the language of Afrikaans, to just put that into Google. And you should immediately get the Wikipedia article right at the top of the list. And if you care to do that, then just tell me that you got it. Then I want to show you something very interesting, and I'm hoping that your listeners can kind of see it in their mind's eye, or you could find a way of conveying what you're seeing to them, rather than me, because as a white South African, anything I do is suspect.
And we're looking at the Wikipedia link for that?
Yeah.
All right.
So I got it.
When you got the page, scroll down until you get a little green colored diagram on the right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It says, the geographical distribution of Afrikaans in South Africa, proportion of the population that speaks Afrikaans at home. You see that little map?
Yeah.
Right.
And it
now,
looks
isn't
like...
that instructive that that eastern border of that region would run along what I have to assure you for now is the 350-millimeter rainfall line? The line that separates to the east the long grass part of the country from the great dry place to the west?
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. Now, folks need to understand in the United States that when they talk about African Americans, which I think is a really silly misnomer, to me, African Americans are just black Americans. And if people have a problem with the fact that black Americans are black, I would call them racist and tell them to go get themselves sorted out. I've met and dealt with many black Americans, and to me, they are Americans. I couldn't care less whether they're black or not. I play in a band, and the bass guitarist is a black American, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you got problems with my friends? Let me know. So the point is, if you look at that map, on what basis could you conceivably tell the people who dominate the west of the country that they are by some or other means the invaders?
Right, because Afrikaans is the language spoken by basically the Dutch settlers. And if you look at this map, it is dark, dark green on the left, the entire left-hand side of the country, so the west. And it's 80, that green equates to 80 to 100% of the population that speaks that. So that's not it is a native language for those people that came there over 300 years ago, but it's not it's not the black language of the people who were indigenous to that area.
And this is important because now I want to tell you that the people who live to the east of that line, the eastern half of that picture, those are the indigenous black people of South Africa, and there's no denying that they are the majority in that part of the country. No denying. Okay? And they are black African South Africans. They have their own language. In fact, there are 11 different nations. I'm not going to bore you with the details of all of those, but they do include Nelson Mandela's Amakosa, who live on the southern end of that part of the map, and right next door to them, up along the coast, would be the Zulu that everybody has somehow heard of and nobody can quite pin down. Okay? So the Amakosa and the AmaZulu, and their languages are isiXhosa and isiZulu. In the interior, further up in that map, live a whole collection of other nations of people, each with their language. So, unlike in America, the black people in South Africa are indigenous. They have their own culture, historically based on keeping cattle, historically based on collective land ownership. Let me phrase that again for you so you can hear it clearly. Based on collective land ownership.
Okay.
Now, what's happening in South Africa is that the government is basically appealing to that last phrase you just heard me use to say, no, they got to collectivize all the land of the country. So they're trying to Africanize everybody. I don't think you are going to find a black American who is going to agree with the idea that his land should be taken away and his house should be nationalized. I want to find any black American I've ever met and put him down in a chair and tell him, pal, how would you feel about it if your place were nationalized? Just kind of take your house and give it to the government so they can decide how to distribute it. Cool idea, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all great as long as it isn't you.
And that's what the government is, what that's what they voted to do. And now they're falling about because they kind of caught the bus. And it's like a fox terrier who caught the bus, right? They now got to figure out, oops, did we just approve that? How would we do that? And the a spokesperson, Jeremy Cronin, for the South African Communist Party, piped up the other day and said, well, the guy who put this vote up in Parliament, he maybe didn't think it through real carefully enough because it might mean that the property of black South Africans would be taken. And we don't intend to take black people's land. We only want to take white people's land. How do you like that?
Yeah. Well, as long as there's a little oversight there.
Yeah, as long as they're organized about it.
Little slip up in the logic.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Okay, so this is how, I don't know quite how to phrase this. Anything that is a small signal that you have to think about carefully in the United States is like screamed in your face in South Africa. So I keep telling folks that South Africa is Obama's United States on steroids.
On that happy note, we're going to take a really quick break because we got so caught up in the map, we blew right past the 15 minutes here. Yeah, let's pick that up on the other side of the break.
Well, the whole nationalizing private property is a slippery slope.
And that's where a lot of our stuff was headed until we had the great unraveling with the election of Donald Trump. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Bouyans. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I can try, and as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find.
Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. Just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting.
And we're back. All right, let's go back to the what would have been the former United States under Obama.
Yeah, I didn't want to dwell too much on that, but I guess the point I'm trying to convey is that there's no such thing as political correctness really in the end in South Africa. People will state things, you know, straight in your face. So when a politician... there are parties that are further to the left than the ANC, and one of them is a thing called the Economic Freedom Fighters, and they dress all in red in Parliament. Their leader is a guy called Julius Malema. And if you look at that little language map that we were looking at earlier, he's from the very far northernmost part of the country. You can see that province up there in that thing. My comment to you is that white Afrikaans, Dutch-speaking South Africans were living and dying at the bottom end of that area, in other words, in what the black people would like to believe is theirs, were already living and dying there when the Western world didn't even yet know about Malema's people's existence because they were so far to the north. All right? Yet this is the guy who dances around on the stage yelling, kill the farmers, drive them out, kill the farmers.
Yeah.
Or kill the boer, as it said. The word in Dutch and Afrikaans for a farmer is boer. And as I explained to you last time, in the late 1600s, the Brits were referring to your ancestors in the north of New York State as also boer. Now, what's going on is that the government is using the surface area of the entire country and treating it as though they want to nationalize all of it, and that white people are invaders from elsewhere into all of that country. It is simply not true. And you can see it by the distribution of language. And I've given you the reason designed in heaven for why it is like that, and that is the black people could not exist further west. Their basic society could not function without cattle.
Right.
And, you know, it's not all that easy in southern Nevada to keep cattle.
No, it's hard. It's a lot of work.
Okay.
So tell me this. What's the, you know, we always look for logic, even though I realize it's not to be had in a lot of this. But if they drive these farmers out, I mean, people might be thinking it's so that they can run the farms.
Yeah, that was my question. What happens
to
the farms?
I'm guessing the farm just kind of goes to seed and not the good kind.
I wish it would go to seed because you'd at least have the seed.
Yeah, I was going to say, not
what you
good
mean
kind.
By the English expression.
Well, they don't have the money or the education or the I don't know, the technology
like
to run a big farm. But yet they drive these people out that create a product and help feed the people. And then when they drive them out, they kind of have nothing. It's kind of like when we have these riots over here in our country, and they burn down their neighborhood. I don't understand that.
Maybe I could again appeal to, let me just see if this will work. If you wouldn't mind going to, can you access Google Maps?
Sure.
How about you go to Google Maps and put the following word in there? I'll wait for you to tell me you got Google Maps.
All right.
So when you're there, please type in L-E-S-O-T-H-O.
L-E-S-O...
T-H-O.
T-H-O. Okay...
You should see the independent kingdom of Lesotho, has been part of South Africa, made a country by the British, given independence by the British. Okay?
Right.
If you've got the map of Lesotho in front of you, please tell me.
Okay.
So to the listeners, I would say go to Google Maps and put in L-E-S-O-T-H-O. Now, in the bottom of your picture, you should see a little logo that says satellite. Click on satellite so that you get a satellite image rather than a map. And tell me when you have that.
Okay.
Does that mean you got it?
That means it's loading. Here we go. All right.
Yep, got it.
Okay. Now, do you see to the southwest on that map, you see how straight the line is between light fawn and green to the left? Do you see that? It says names like Wepener and Mafeking and...
Yes.
Mohali. That's the border.
Ah.
Now, why do you think the soil is barren to the east and not to the west?
Well, probably because of the mountain.
That's what you're looking at.
The mountain range?
Looking at what happens when you give land to subsistence-type farmers in Africa. Because
That's that big strip that looks like it's a wasteland in the middle?
I'm not going to call it a wasteland. I'm just going to tell you that the land on the west is managed by white farmers, and the land on the east is managed by, I guess, what passes for black farmers. I'm not sure they would be called farmers in the true sense of the word.
Okay.
I want to be very clear about this.
Uh-huh.
This is not an indictment of black people or their culture. I'm simply stating a reality. When indigenous black folks in Africa talk about agriculture, they do not mean plowing hectares of land, putting fertilizer down there, getting some form of irrigation there, and putting some sort of seed there. Okay? Generally, they're talking smaller patches of land for reasons of subsisting as a family. Generally. This is a generalization. They are hostages of their own culture. They're not stupid. They're not bad. They're not evil. None of that stuff. Okay? It's just that none of their history has prepared them for large-scale agriculture the way Western man has developed it. And you're seeing the consequence, because what they haven't let go to ruin what remains of grass will be eaten by the cattle, and what the cattle can't finish off, the sheep and goats will. Again, remember, the cattle will eat the longer grass, then you'll bring the sheep to eat the shorter stuff, and if there's bark left on a tree, a goat will find a way to eat it.
And then it looks like this.
And if you think that I'm indicting the Sotho people for this, you're wrong. Because when you look in the towards the bottom, you'll see there's a place with the name Herschel and Sterkspruit and Mporky and Dilly Dilly and so forth. In the bottom of that diagram, where a piece of this white land stretches to the west, that's part of South Africa. The only difference is that was a black homeland. You give them the land, that's what happens.
Yeah, I always wondered about that, because, I think anybody that knows anything about agriculture knows that it takes, you have to know what you're doing to plant large-scale agriculture. You have to have money to buy the equipment to harvest large-scale agriculture. And when you go in and you get rid of the base, you get rid of the people that have that education and that know-how, you can't just move people onto the land and expect them to
magically
turn that farm around. I mean, they don't know how.
Which is why the white farmers often band together and go and plow the land for the guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These much maligned, invading, marauding, nasty white people actually go and do this.
Rather than watch it all just go
rather
fallow.
Than just watch it go to seed, as you say.
Right.
Okay, so we've got to take a really quick break again. Sorry, it seems like on shows like this, it always seems like we have twice as many breaks. We really don't. They're the same number. It just seems like they're creeping up on us a lot. I have put all of these things on our webpage, links to like the Google Maps and the language map that we were talking about earlier. So if you're not at your computer or you weren't able to find these links, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, go to the show page for today, June 3rd, 2018, you will see, as discussed on today's show, and I've actually listed those for you, because I think it's really instructive to have that visual along with what we're being told. So we will be right back, and again, you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us.
A man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
So there we are.
Hmm.
Take it away from one group of people and give it to the other group, and then, here, now you make it work. Doesn't really work that
well,
way.
Well, it's missing the main ingredient we were talking about during the break, you know, pride of ownership.
So here's the ironic thing, folks.
All right.
Is that so the government tries to take this away by force now from white people without any compensation, just take the land. They want to give it to black folks who don't know how to manage it. Again, I repeat, they're not stupid or anything like that. They're not bad. They're not evil. They just don't know how. That's all. That's not a sin.
Sure. Right, right.
But the result is that people are not going to eat. Okay? Now, there's some numbers around the subject, and I don't have a simple way to get you to go to like an independent website, but the number that you'll find in various places is that 90% of these efforts to take farms from white commercial farming and give it to indigenous black subsistence farmers, and then thinking that overnight they're going to mystically figure out how to run this stuff, 90% of it fails. I think between two or three rational people on, you know, talking on the show, that doesn't seem too weird. You know, give a working business to somebody, you know, just out of the blue with no experience, it's going to fail.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you can't even do that with something as cookie cutter as a McDonald's.
Yeah. There is just nothing deep about the point I'm making. I think a child could see that. You know, so and that is indeed what's happening. Around 90% of it fails. The largest citrus estate in the world in the 1950s was given to a black community by the old apartheid government, was given to that black community in the 1970s. It basically ceased to operate. They managed to find a way, against all odds, to take the world's biggest citrus estate and, frankly, turn it to junk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay? And this is what happens all over that continent. And even when you get a black farmer that potentially knows what he's doing, he's up against the realities that other farmers have been up against. Like, you know, has he got the money for the seed?
Right.
Is there going to be enough rain this year? Has he, you know, let some land lie correctly fallow? You know, has he done all the right stuff or not? And then lastly, you know, how does he know where to sell? You know, he's got to find a market. He's got to do all of that stuff. He runs out of money and everything goes to seed anyway, despite his best efforts. It's just a reality. Business is tough and farming is business.
Yep, and even if you know what you're doing, it isn't a guarantee.
No, I think you could ask any farmer in this country, is it an easy business? It's not an easy business, and there's so much unknowns from year to year. Like you say, you might get bad weather, you might not, you might have water, you might not, you might get an infestation of some kind.
Right.
And you have to know how to deal with that stuff, and to get just hand it over to somebody who's got no experience with that, I think everybody would agree that it's doomed to fail.
Well, just out of curiosity, okay, so they kill people, or torture and kill people, I should say. Let's not leave that out. So you torture and kill the people who own the land, then does the government take it over? Is it that tidy?
This is the interesting bit. If you look at what's happening, the government takes the land from the white farmers, but there are millions and millions and millions of hectares that they have dispossessed in this way, and they have not given to black farmers. They're not telling anybody that.
Oh.
And so here's the interesting little bit. The government says the greatest problem in developing South Africa is that all this farming land is in the hands of white people. This is an evil at the hand of an invader, needs to be stopped, and these people need to be chased off their lands. And we need to give this land to black people. Interesting fact is that there is more land in the hands of that government than in the hands of the white farmers.
Huh, who could have seen that coming?
How come that's not being given to these hard-pressed black people who are supposedly going to be magical businessmen overnight and reap crops like you never seen before?
Mm. Yeah.
So who's kidding whom?
Yeah, that is a mystery, isn't it?
No, well, yeah, well, the resolution to the mystery is very obvious when you realize that the ANC government was trained by the Soviet Union, that at its core is the Communist Party, which is, there's a considerable number of white guys in the middle of that Communist Party, and they're busy nationalizing the country. It's not that they really want to give it to black people, it's that they're nationalizing the land. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, just want to break the private property ownership. So,
yes.
So let's say, let's say that, because this, I know this is true here in our area, a lot of the people who are running the family farm are the grandparents, since, 70 appears to be the new 50 or something. Okay, so if those people are literally killed, and they have kids or grandkids who live there, do they just come after them next, or does the government take it, and where do they put the people that are left in the ownership, in the title chain?
Well, the total number of white individual farmers in South Africa is only around 35,000.
Oh.
Okay. Only around 35,000.
Sure.
It used to be 80,000. It's down to 35,000 for reasons that should be obvious by now.
Right.
It's not the only reason. There are also other, companies that own land and so forth. But people are not running around killing heads of companies in the cities. They're running around killing these individual farmers on their individual farms. It's like in the States, the son is going to inherit the state. He's going to try and make a success of it until his family is wiped out, or he flees to the city and tries to find a job, probably as a farmer. He knows a lot about mechanical stuff. He's going to end up working at a brake and muffler place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So the picture that most people have, most white people in South Africa, are convinced that this is an effort to drive white people physically off the surface area of the land into the cities where they nicely herded together for the final kill.
And are they killing him in the city, too?
Oh, yeah. But it's not as easy to get away with it there as with an isolated farmer.
Sure.
And now we get to who's doing this, because I have a question. I said earlier I'm not prepared to accuse the ANC government directly of doing this, but when their members are on stage yelling, kill the farmer, kill the Boer, I would say they have some culpability in this. When the EFF leader dances on the stage and yells, kill the farmer, kill the Boer, I would hold him directly responsible. But how is it that there are now CC, closed-circuit television footage of people attacking farms, and on their backs they are carrying cell phone jammers? Have you ever heard of people perpetrating crimes using cell phone jammers in the United States?
No.
Well, I don't live in a high crime area, but I tell you what, if they were running around with them, I'd be thinking they might be slightly more organized just than your usual, vandals.
The last time I looked, you don't buy cell phone jammers at Radio Shack.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Okay.
Do we even have Radio Shack?
Folks can take a look at my blog, where there is a picture taken at a town called Sunny's Hof, which roughly translated means Susie's Place. It's a town with that name. And on a farm, just prior to an attack, they got these guys on CCTV running around with a four antenna cell phone jammer strapped to the back. That is organized at a completely different level.
Yeah. That's military.
I was going to say that's like paramilitary.
Yeah. And so people are up in arms about this, and the feeling, and the government can deny it till it goes purple in the face, folks on the farms are convinced that it is the government setting people up to do this. The government is openly you know, like you sick a dog. They are convinced the government is sicking these people on the farmers. They feel targeted. They're dying horribly, and they don't understand why the world refuses to comprehend what's going on. And then, as I say, when people in England deny that this is happening, and I suggest merely that they should perhaps go and spend a month on a South African farm, I get accused of bullying.
Well,
that's interesting.
Well, we just took a vote, and we think you should keep bullying, so... We're all down for the bullying. We have to take
well,
a really.
If that's bullying by the U.S. definition, I would submit to you that.
well, everything
is. It's just kids. Daddy never slapped him when he needed it.
The bad part is that whole everybody gets a trophy thing. But yeah, everything is bullying right now. We've got to take one last quick break, and we'll go to the top of the hour with Dr. Harry Bouyans. Our website is wethepeopleradio.us.
My eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
That will forever be your theme song. We're here with Dr. Harry Bouyans, and after all the stuff we've seen today, yeah, I'll tell you what, a little hard on the eyes. We hope you'll go and utilize the links on the website today at wethepeopleradio.us. I hope you'll utilize that and access Dr. Harry's blog and all of the information. He's just a ton of information there. His book is fantastic. We didn't even mention it. We mentioned it last time. It is spelled, because if I say it, you're still not going to be able to find it. It is spelled AMABHULU. And Dr. Harry Bouyans' last name is spelled BOOYENS. So even if you're not a web person, you should be able to snap that up at your local bookstore. Very much worth reading. Alrighty.
So
we have 10 whole minutes left, and
yeah.
It seems like we've covered nothing.
I could convey one last point.
Please
and then
do.
Maybe just summarize what the issues are.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. One, let's call it cute little point that the South African government doesn't allow anybody to hear is, what about those old supposedly horrible homelands that people always talked about that these evil white people gave to these nice black people? On my website, on that link that I provided you, there are pictures of what it looks like in that area. Oddly, they were called desolate dumping grounds during the 1970s and 80s, and now they are tourist havens. Somebody's going to have to explain this sudden change in classification to me. More importantly, they're all in the high rainfall area of the country where God's waters fall from heaven, and you put pumpkin pips in the ground and they just grow without irrigation. So for some other reason, these places were considered desolate when black people were living there, and now you go there because you are a leading TV personality. So weird. But
yeah,
here's
pretty
the
fancy.
Point, the point about it. Can white farmers buy that land? And the answer is no. It's only for black people. Go figure.
So you can't. I mean, you can't negotiate a land deal.
No.
Wow.
So white people's land should be a debate for being taken or not. and black people's land is forbidden.
Wow. Okay. So they literally are squeezing them out, I mean.
Clear? Okay. So by the time, as I put it here, in the article that everybody can read, is why is no one in South Africa shouting, why they're all shouting, kill the whites, kill the farmer, nobody is shouting, kill the blacks. And, you know, the issue is this, that in terms of the numbers, those attacking the farmers have at least 2.2 times more reason or justification in attacking the government and its supporters, because for every hectare owned by a white farmer in the contested eastern half of the country, the government controls 2.26 hectares, which they could give to those people who are screaming, kill the farmer, kill the whites. But they're not letting people know that they own the 2.26 times as much as the white guys. So they're playing with the numbers, and folks internationally are being played for a bunch of suckers.
And the people that are being killed on the farms, now normally if this was happening somewhere, they would be able to get like asylum in some other country. I mean, you obviously see on the news, you know, we're being flooded on our southern borders. People are crossing multiple countries to come here for asylum. I guess you're supposed to go to the closest country, but I guess that doesn't work.
Well, it's difficult to get on a boat and paddle all the way to North America from South Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, hard to explain that. But, you know, people are coming here from other places. But can they go to, I mean, will other countries give them asylum if they want to just take the shirt on their back and go start over?
This gets right back to the history. You see, when the Portuguese were driven from Africa, they sent aeroplanes to collect their people and they went back to their homeland, Portugal. When the Spaniards left Spanish Sahara, they went back to Spain. The Brits could pull their people back to Britain. The Germans removed their people from German East and West Africa, etc. But the Afrikaner does not belong anywhere else. He has no other place. Where would Americans go? Because it's the same question for the South African folks.
Sure.
Where would Americans go? You're going to go back to Eastern Europe, Poland? Where? What about all the people in the Northern Plains state? Many of them came from Scandinavia. Are they going to go back to Scandinavia? Yeah. What about the Scots in Tennessee? Are they going to go back to Scotland?
Right.
I need to understand, because there is no place that is offering a safe haven to Afrikaners who are being murdered like this. We have no right of return to anywhere on earth. There's nowhere to go. And if they flee westwards, they're eventually going to end up in the sea at Cape Town. And I grew up, there was nothing between me and the South Pole except the Russian Navy. So they got nowhere to go. They threatened day and night. Nobody will give them the time of day. And everybody is hanging them in the media internationally for a history that is absolutely false. What must they do? I pray someone tell me. What must they do?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you'd like to see a little light at the end of the tunnel for them, but
there is no light at the end of the tunnel. The only thing they do is they're in church every Sunday morning and they're praying, because it's all they can do.
Yeah, there's just no, I guess, world recognition at this point. I mean, nobody wants to admit that it's going on.
Would that even help? I mean, it can't hurt, obviously.
Well, when Peter Dutton in the Australian government, the guy in charge of their immigration, he took one look and he said he's going to fast-track moving of South African farmers to Australia. All hell broke loose. They attacked him personally, called him a racist. I don't know what else, you know. It's incredible. The hatred, you can cut the hatred with a knife. It comes packaged in blocks that you cut with a saw. You know, and it's very much like CNN and Trump. You know, it's just hatred. It's no substance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and therefore you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, you can say what you please. They want to look, let me put it to you this way. It's summed up very nicely by a professor from Denmark that I shared an office with at IBM in 1980. He calibrated me, 79, 80. He got angry with me one day, stood up, towered his full 6'4" over me, and said basically to me, you are a sick anachronism. You are a blot on the name of Europe. You should just die.
Wow.
That calibrated me. I have been left with that picture of that is what liberal Westerners want. They want me and mine dead. Nothing else will do.
That is stunning.
So it's not as though I have to speculate about it. I've been told that to my face.
Wow.
And that happened in an office in IBM Yorktown Heights building, the same building where they recorded that competition of, I forget the show now for a moment, with Alex Trebek.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. They recorded this a session of Jeopardy.
Apparently the facts didn't actually get out of that room.
That's where I worked.
No kidding.
In that building, that's what I was told to my face.
Huh. So much for the sympathy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And were things as...
I've had great clarity in this matter all my life.
Were things as bad back then?
I have never expected sympathy or understanding from the liberal end of the Northern Hemisphere wing. They want us dead. We are an embarrassment to them. Our mere existence is in the way of their plan. Just like we were in the way of the British imperialists way back in 1899, unfortunately, our guys just wanted to farm with their cattle and accidentally gold was discovered and Britain had to have it. Okay? We always seem to be in the way of someone's plan.
Wow.
That's how 57% of the people of my family name who went into the British concentration camps in 1901 died there. We're in the way. We're still in the way. Nobody gives us a home. Nobody gives us a future. Nobody wants to speak on our behalf. We are never represented anywhere. We never get to say what the truth is. We never get to tell what happens, and no one apparently wants to know. That's our problem.
And for the people who want the rest of that part of the story, we did that last week on May 27th, 2018, and I hope you will listen to that. It was the second hour.
So I would like to thank you guys for at least hearing this out.
Absolutely.
It's a difficult subject. It's complex, but it's so difficult to penetrate through 60, 70 years of completely slanted reporting about a group of people who've never been allowed to speak for themselves.
Well, we thank you for coming on, Harry, and I wish you the best. And the name of your book again?
Amabulu.
Amabulu.
Yep. You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us. Dr. Harry Boone's information is on there, links to his blog and book and all sorts of things. You'll really like it. We'll see you again next week. Thanks very much.